So we are continuing chapter 36 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And we're very, very near the end now. You can almost taste it. Harry woke up so warm, so very sleepy, that he didn't open his eyes, wanting to drop off again. The room was still dimly lit. He was sure it was still nighttime, and had a feeling he couldn't have been asleep very long. Then he heard whispering around him. "They'll wake him if they don't shut up. What are they shouting about? Nothing else can have happened, can it?" Harry opened his eyes blearily. Someone had removed his glasses. He could see the fuzzy outlines of Mrs. Weasley and Bill close by. Mrs. Weasley was on her feet. "That's Fudge's voice," she whispered, "and that's Minerva McGonagall, isn't it? But what are they arguing about?" Now Harry could hear them too, people shouting and running toward the hospital wing. "Regrettable all the same, Minerva," Cornelius Fudge was saying loudly. "You should never have brought it inside the castle," yelled Professor McGonagall. "When Dumbledore found out..." Harry heard the hospital doors burst open. Unnoticed by any of the people around his bed, all of whom were staring at the door as Bill pulled back the screens, Harry sat up and put his glasses back on. Fudge came striding up the ward. Professors McGonagall and Snape were at his heels. "Where's Dumbledore?" Fudge demanded of Mrs. Weasley. "He's not here," said Mrs. Weasley angrily. "This is a hospital wing, Minister. Don't you think you'd better do..." But the door opened, and Dumbledore came sweeping up the ward. "What has happened?" said Dumbledore sharply, looking from Fudge to Professor McGonagall. "Why are you disturbing these people?" "Minerva, I'm surprised at you. I asked you to stand guard over Barty Crouch." "There is no need to stand guard over him anymore, Dumbledore," she shrieked. "The Minister has seen to that." Harry had never seen Professor McGonagall lose control like that. There were angry blotches of color in her cheeks, and her hands were balled into fists. She was trembling with fury. "When we told Mr. Fudge that we had caught the Death Eater responsible for tonight's events," said Snape in a low voice, he seemed to feel his personal safety was in question. "He insisted on summoning a Dementor to accompany him to the castle. He brought it up into the office where Barty Crouch..." "I told him you would not agree, Dumbledore," said Professor McGonagall. "I told him you would never allow Dementors to set foot inside the castle, but..." "My dear woman," said roared Fudge, who likewise looked angrier than Harry had ever seen him. "As the Minister of Magic, it is my decision whether I wish to bring protection with me when I interview a possibly dangerous..." But Professor McGonagall's voice drowned out Fudge's. "The moment that thing entered the room," she screamed, pointing at Fudge, trembling all over, "it swooped down on Crouch and... Harry felt a chill in his stomach as Professor McGonagall struggled to find words for what had happened. He didn't need to hear her finish her sentence. He knew what the Dementors must have done. It had administered its fatal kiss to Barty Crouch. It had sucked his soul out through the mouth. He was worse than dead. "By all accounts, he's no loss," blustered Fudge. "It seems he's been responsible for several deaths." "But he cannot give testimony now, Cornelius," said Dumbledore. He was staring hard at Fudge, as though seeing him plainly for the first time. "He cannot give evidence about why he has killed those people."
Why he killed them? Why, that's no mystery, is it?" blustered Fudge. "He was a raving lunatic. From what Minerva and Severus have told me, he seems to have thought he was doing it on you-know-who's instructions."
"Lord Voldemort was giving him instructions, Cornelius," said Dumbledore. "Those people's deaths were mere byproducts of a plan to restore Voldemort to full strength again. The plan succeeded. Voldemort has been restored to his body." Fudge looked as though someone had just swung a heavy weight onto his face. Dazed and blinking, he stared back at Dumbledore, as if he couldn't quite believe what he had just heard. He began to sputter, still goggling at Dumbledore.
You know who returned? Preposterous! Come on now, Dumbledore."
"As Minerva and Severus have doubtless told you," said Dumbledore, "we heard Barty Crouch confess. Under the influence of Veritaserum, he told us how he was smuggled out of Azkaban, and how Voldemort
learning of his continued existence from Bertha Jorkins, went free from his father and used him to capture Harry. The plan worked, I tell you. Crouch has helped Voldemort return. See here, Dumbledore, said Fudge, and Harry was astounded to see a slight smile dawning on his face. You can't seriously believe that. You know who back? Come now, certainly Crouch may have believed himself to be acting upon you know whose orders, but to take the word of a lunatic like that, Dumbledore. When Harry touched the Triwizard Cup tonight, he was transported straight to Voldemort, said Dumbledore steadily. He witnessed Lord Voldemort's rebirth. I'll explain it all to you if you will step up to my office. Dumbledore glanced around at Harry and saw that he was awake, but shook his head and said, I'm afraid I cannot permit you to question Harry tonight. Fudge's curious smile lingered. He, too, glanced at Harry, and then looked back at Dumbledore and said, You are prepared to take Harry's word on this, are you, Dumbledore? There was a moment's silence, which was broken by Sirius growling. His hackles were raised, and he was baring his teeth at Fudge. Certainly, I believe Harry, said Dumbledore. His eyes were blazing now. I heard Crouch's confession, and I heard Harry's account of what happened after he touched the Triwizard Cup. These two stories make sense, and they explain everything that has happened since Bertha Jorkins disappeared last summer. Fudge still had that strange smile on his face. Once again, he glanced at Harry before answering. You are prepared to believe that Lord Voldemort has returned on the word of a lunatic murderer and a boy who... Well, Fudge shot Harry another look, and Harry suddenly understood. You've been reading Rita Skeeter, Mr. Fudge, he said quietly. Ron, Hermione, Mrs. Weasley, and Bill all jumped. None of them realized Harry was awake. Fudge reddened slightly, but a defiant and obstinate look came over his face. And if I have, he said, looking at Dumbledore, if I have discovered that you've been keeping certain facts about the boy very quiet, a parcel mouth, eh? And having funny turns all over the place? I assume you're referring to the pains Harry's been experiencing in his scar, said Dumbledore coolly. You admit he's been having these pains then, said Fudge quickly. Headaches? Nightmares? Possibly hallucinations? Listen to me, Cornelius, said Dumbledore, taking a step toward Fudge, and once again, he seemed to radiate that indefinable sense of power that Harry had felt after Dumbledore had stunned young Crouch. Harry is as sane as you or I. That scar upon his forehead has not addled his brains. I believe it hurts him when Lord Voldemort is close by or feeling particularly murderous. Fudge has taken half a step from Dumbledore, but he looked no less stubborn. You'll forgive me, Dumbledore, but I've never heard of a cursed scar acting as an alarm bell before. Look, I saw Voldemort come back, Harry shouted. He tried to get out of bed again, but Mrs. Weasley forced him back. I saw the Death Eaters. I can give you their names. Lucius Malfoy. Snape made a sudden movement, but as Harry looked at him, Snape's eyes flew back to Fudge. Malfoy was cleared, said Fudge, visibly affronted. A very old family, donations to excellent causes. McNair, Harry continued, also cleared, now working for the Ministry. Avery, Knott, Crabbe, Goyle. You're merely repeating the names of those that were acquitted of being Death Eaters 13 years ago, said Fudge angrily. You could have found those names in old reports of the trials. For heaven's sake, Dumbledore, the boy was full of some crackpot story at the end of last year, too. His tails are getting taller, and you're still swallowing them. The boy can talk to snakes, Dumbledore, and you still think he's trustworthy? You fool, said Professor McGonagall cried. Cedric Diggory, Mr. Crouch. These deaths were not the random work of a lunatic. I see no evidence to the contrary, shouted Fudge, now matching her anger, his face purpling. It seems to me you are all determined to start a panic that will destabilize everything we have worked for in these last 13 years. Harry couldn't believe what he was hearing. He had always thought of Fudge as a kindly figure, a little blustering, a little pompous, but essentially good-natured. But now, a short, angry wizard stood before him, refusing point-blank to accept the prospect of disruption in his comfortable and ordered world, to believe that Voldemort could have risen. Voldemort has returned, Dumbledore repeated. If you accept that fact straightway, Fudge, and take the necessary measures, we still may be able to save the situation.
The first and most essential step is to remove Azkaban from the control of the Dementors.
Preposterous, shouted Fudge again. Remove the Dementors. I'd be kicked out of office for suggesting this. Half of us only feel safe in our beds at night because we know the Dementors are standing guard at Azkaban.
And the rest of us sleep less soundly in our beds, Cornelius, Dumbledore said, knowing that you have put Lord Voldemort's most dangerous supporters in the care of creatures that will join him the instant he asks them, said Dumbledore. They will not remain loyal to you, Fudge. Voldemort can offer them much more for their powers and pleasures than you can. With the Dementors behind him and his old supporters returned to him, you will be hard-pressed to stop him regaining the sort of power he had 13 years ago.
Fudge was opening and closing his mouth as though he had no words that could express his rage.
The second step you must take at once, Dumbledore said, is to send envoys to the giants.
Envoys to the giants? Fudge shrieked, finding his tongue again. What madness is this?
Extend to them the hand of friendship now before it is too late, said Dumbledore, or Voldemort will persuade them, as he did before, that he alone among wizards will give them the rights and freedom.
You cannot be serious, Fudge gasped, shaking his head and retreating further from Dumbledore.
If the magical community got wind that I had approached the giants, people would hate them, Dumbledore. End of my career.
You are blinded, said Dumbledore, his voice rising now, the aura of power around him palpable, his eyes blazing once more.
By the love of the office you hold, Cornelius, you place too much importance, as you have always done, on the so-called purity of blood. You fail to recognize that it matters not what someone is born, but what they grow to be. Your Dementor has just destroyed the last remaining member of a pure-blood family as old as any, and see what that man chose to make of his life. I tell you now, take the steps I have suggested and you'll be remembered, in office or out, as one of the bravest and greatest ministers of magic we have ever known. Fail to act, and history will remember you as the man who stepped aside and allowed Voldemort a second chance to destroy the world we have tried to rebuild.
Insane, whispered Fudge, backing away. Mad.
And then there was silence. Madame Pomfrey was standing frozen at the foot of Harry's bed, her hands over her mouth. Mrs. Weasley was still standing over Harry, her hand on his shoulder to prevent him from rising. Bill, Ron, and Hermione were staring at Fudge.
If your determination to shut your eyes will carry you as far as this, Cornelius, said Dumbledore, we have reached a parting of ways. You must act as you see fit, and I shall act as I.
Dumbledore's voice carried no hint of threat, but sounded like a mere statement, but Fudge bristled as though Dumbledore were advancing upon him with a wand.
Now see here, Dumbledore, he said, waving a threatening finger. I've given you free rein, always. I've had a lot of respect for you. I might not have agreed with some of your decisions, but I've kept quiet. There aren't many who'd have let you hire werewolves, or keep Hagrid, or decide what to teach your students without reference to the ministry. But if you're going to work with me... Now, if you're going to work against me...
The only one against whom I intend to work, said Dumbledore, is Lord Voldemort. If you are against him, then we remain, Cornelius, on the same side.
It seemed Fudge could think of no answer to this. He rocked backward and forward on his small feet for a moment and spun his bowler hat in his air.
Finally, he said, with a hint of plea in his voice,
he can't be back, Dumbledore, he just can't be.
Snape strode forward past Dumbledore, pulling up his left sleeve of his robes as he went back. He stuck out his forearm and showed it to Fudge, who recoiled.
There, said Snape harshly. There. The dark mark. It is not as so clear as it was an hour ago or so, and it burned black, but you can still see it. Every Death Eater has the sign of the mark burned into him by the Dark Lord. It was a means of distinguishing one another, and his means of summoning us to him. When he touched the mark of any Death Eater, we were to disapparate. An apparate instantly at his side.
The mark has been growing clearer all year. Karkaroff's too. Why do you think Karkaroff fled tonight?
We both felt the mark burn. We both knew he had returned. Karkaroff fears the Dark Lord's vengeance. He has betrayed too many of his fellow Death Eaters to be sure of a welcome back into the fold. Fudge stepped back from Snape 2. He was shaking his head. He did not seem to have taken in a word Snape had said. He stared, apparently repelled by the ugly mark on Snape's arm, and then looked up at Dumbledore and whispered, "I don't know what you and your staff are playing at, Dumbledore, but I have heard enough. I have no more to add. I will be in touch with you tomorrow, Dumbledore, to discuss the running of this school. I must return to the Ministry." He had almost reached the door when he paused. He turned around, strode back to the dormitory, and stopped at Harry's bed. "Your winnings," he said shortly, taking a large gold bag of gold out of his pocket and dropping it onto Harry's bedside table. 1,000 galleons. There should have been a presentation ceremony, but under the circumstances. He crammed his bowler hat on his head and walked out of the room, slamming the door behind him. The moment he had disappeared, Dumbledore turned to look at the group around Harry's bed. I think we'll stop there. My throat is getting a little scratchy. I just have a few pages left in that chapter. Love you, kitty. Hope you have a good night. Sleep well.